Okay, thank you very much to the Bevy Sisters. And I just wanted to say that their next gig is in the Voodoo Rooms on the 22nd of March. So catch them there. So many thanks to them. We felt like doing this nearly all completely new set amongst friends, which is why we're doing it to you here this evening for the first time. We've just had a really enjoyable few days rehearsing this material. So for us, that's made it all worthwhile, but we thought it'd be really nice to share it with people at the end. But it's all nearly all new stuff. There's a little bit of a Caribbean theme this evening, and we're starting off with a piece by a contemporary Cuban composer called Calixto Álvarez, and this is called Los Pregoneros, which means something like the town criers. It's something like it's a procession that's announcing something through the town, a procession that comes, goes past, and goes away again, and it's a slow conga.
Timo Alacotila, who's
There we are. Next piece is a piece by a Finnish keyboard player called Timo Alakotina, who wrote this piece for a very famous Finnish accordion player called Maria Kalaniemi, with whom he used to play in a band. And this is a piece called Angskar. And I was Googling it today, just wondering what it was about. And looked like maybe it was an island in Finland, obviously an island with fond memories for the composer. So this is Timo Alakotila's Angskar. Thank you. David McGuinness on melodica. And Sue Lee here on vocals as well. I don't know if you... somehow it always sounded like a lot of people singing, even though it was just her. I'd like to welcome our very, very special guest this evening, who's singing quite a number of songs this evening with us. Could you welcome Michael Mara?
Hello. I have to try to impress you now. I'd like to begin with a song about my great uncle, who was a man called Francis Clark, and he was my grandmother's brother on my father's side. And the family came from a place called Bailiaborough in Cavan, came across here, and Francis got a job in the boatyard in Dundee and served his time as a shipwright. And he worked on the building of the Discovery. And then later he got a job on board and he sailed all over the world, had many great adventures, and eventually he died and was buried in the Yukon Territory. And the sad thing is that at the time that he died, the family weren't speaking to him. They were in a huff. Your families probably don't behave like that. Anyway, I wouldn't have known about him at all. But my Auntie Molly told me about him. She said the reason they never mentioned him was because he'd had an unhappy marriage. And in those days, unhappy marriages were not as popular as they are now. So they never mentioned him at all. I thought it was a great shame, so I wrote this song really just to say hello to him. And maybe to advise people, don't go in the huff. Life is too short. It's called The Lonesome Death of Francis Clark. Okay. There is a place out in the Yukon, and lying near a shipwright's bones, by his side is Argent Compass. By his feet there is a curling stone. Lying by his feet there is a curling stone. And a fountain pen lies in his waistcoat. Although they found no written farewell, he died on a night that was cold as his family. Oh, it was I see at the gates of hell. Surprised that it was icy at the gates of hell. Fare thee well, brave Uncle Francis. When the snowflakes fall, I will sing the blues. And when I think of how you left this world, I will remember how the world left you. The sea fell for an Indian maiden who was more lovely than mere words could tell. And he lay in her arms and he bathed in the moonlight. He softly sang of the billy upon a bell. He sang to the maiden of the billy upon a bell. Fare thee well, brave Uncle Francis. When the snowflakes fall, I will sing the blues. And when I think of how you left this world, I will remember how the world left you. Who among us would still say, I'll not forgive until my dying day? Between the earth and the sky above, there must be a twinkling seam of love. Summon up the drums of the blackness foundry. Blend Marty the Mackay twins too. We'll sing it up from the Overgate to Anchorage. Place a coal upon the fire for you. We'll place a precious coal upon the fire for you. Fare thee well, brave Uncle Francis. When the snowflakes fall, I will sing the blues. And when I think of how you left this world, I will remember how the world left you. And when I think of how you left this world, I will remember how the world left you. Thank you very much. I'd like to carry on with one of two songs which were inspired by Lewis Grassic Gibbon. And the first one was inspired by his wonderful book, Sunset Song. This is an anti-war song. And for those of you who know the book, you won't need telling, but anybody who doesn't know, it concerns the story of a young man who is taken from a very healthy way of life on a farm in the Mearns, in the northeast of, well, just north of Dundee, you know. And he goes from there to a barracks in Lanark, where he learns about brutality. And he ends up in the First World War at the front line. And he imagines he sees his lover's face on the battlefield, and he walks towards her, but he's going away from the action. And so he's given a firing squad. And the song is called Happed in Mist. Okay. Happed in mist these 25 eventful years seem to me now, and in all but one our friendly haze, a ghost of gladness by my side. horse and plow, I marched with pride of the purest kind. Then a blink of light, and it's Flanders field, and the end of time. Through the flash and cannon's roar, I saw my Christine's smiling eyes, and with no more thought of blood or shell, I made my way to hold her near. But truth and honor's henchmen found me leaving here. A madman's rave and a coward's grave for a volunteer. And in his eyes a blue snipe and curlew, in his nose blue poisoned air, in his mind the wood the king stole, that robbed the land and laid it bare. But in his heart, his lover's memory, singing on their wedding night, where once the part flew thick with corn, that sullen tune was with him now. Happed in mist, the king's own rifles ring. Floors of the forest are weed Thank you very much. We'd like to carry on with a song about a cat, which I had. Although I don't believe anybody really does have a cat. They may live in your house for a wee while. And I got this cat. I hadn't had a cat for a while, and he was a beautiful creature. His name was Pius, and he had a black and white coat. He was young, healthy, and beautiful. And I was going to have to take him to the vet to get a little job done. And I began to feel guilty, but not too guilty, because I had the same job done myself. By a different vet, obviously. But I began to wonder if he'd had a girlfriend or not, and it seemed unlikely, he was very young. So I wrote this song in which he has a girlfriend, and then I played it to him. They can be very cruel cats. And a couple of days later, he ran away, and I never saw him again. Anyway, the song remains, and it's called Pius Porcius. Nothing like a moonlit night, a clear clean shirt and whiskers and eyes that are bright. Pius takes his heels to flight out in a cornfield. You see her again when the moon comes out. Leave no doubt. He heard her by the factory wall. Burned like a chainsaw at the thrill of it all. She sang, Pius, shall we tumble and fall? Here in a cornfield. He leaps and dances when the moon comes out. Leave no doubt. Pius with the moon in his eyes. He loves how she sings, she loves how he flies. Best laid plan between men and mice. When the moon comes out, leave no doubt.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
We're going to play a couple of bits of tango music now. So tango is a music that came out of a lot of different strands of music, European but also African, in that it came out of the milonga, which was very much of an African dance in Argentina. And later this became tango. We're going to play two pieces of tango by a more modern tango composer, Astor Piazzolla, who also brought to the tradition a lot of classical techniques and also jazz instruments, a lot of things that hadn't been in tango before. And one of his biggest influences, in which you'll see very clearly in both these pieces, was Bach. So the first one is a fugue called Fugue 9.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've been to some of our gigs before, but I quite like to have someone come up and say something in the middle of a concert. And we've actually got a guest here tonight who's going to talk a little bit later in the program. Someone called Professor Jeff Palmer, who's, well, he'll explain what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk a little bit later in the program, but I just thought I'd give you advance warning. We're going to go on and play another Astor Piazzolla number. This is, again, very Bach influenced, but with very dense tango style harmonies. This is his chorale. Actually, before I do this, and before Alex switches my mic off, I'd just like to introduce the people in the band, maybe in the order that we started that fugue. So first of all, Claire Sterling on first violin. Oh, sorry, no. That's the wrong order, sorry. Sue started. So Sue Ali on cello. So it was her, then it was her, then it was him, Brian Sheila. And then it was David McGuinness on melodica and harmonium. And then a fantastic entry at the bottom of the double bass, Rick Stanley. And then I sort of crept in, more or less, towards the end of the exposition, Robert McFall. Okay, so this is Astor Piazzolla's chorale. Now, there are various CDs and books and things for sale in the interval, and although I said that a lot of this is new repertoire, these two pieces we have recorded, and you'll find them on various CDs out there. There's also a record of David's, a little single, for sale out there, and, well, you'll see what's there if you're interested to browse. So, as I said, chorale.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to welcome Michael back, Michael Mara.
Wasn't that beautiful? It's the best job in the world, this is. I'd like to play a song which I wrote in Canada in a little town called Revelstoke in British Columbia. And it's a song about a woman who moves to another century to get away from her husband. But she wishes him no ill whatsoever. Okay. And the song is called Follow. Quite a pleasant town, though the gig may shake when the train comes round. Once a whistle cried its lonesome sound, a woman made her way. She took a bag with what little she'd need, the single items for the life she'd lead. Birds all sang to help her along, away from her unceasing husband. And the first man who addressed her was a trapper from the mountains, and she told him to be quiet with a twinkle in her eye. Second was a ticket clerk who sent her back to Fairfield. She turned and made the sign of the cross, and she began to sing inside. There's love in this world for everyone, every rascal and son of a gun. For the many and not the few, sure it's out there looking for you. Every town and every state, every house and every gate, with every precious smile you make, and every act of kindness. Shoes on her little white feet. She turned her bonnet to the western sky and listened for a whisper on the wind going by. There's love in this world for everyone, every rascal and son of a gun. It's for the many and not the few. Out there looking for you. Every town and every state, every house and every gate, with every precious smile you make, and every act of kindness. Now, could you give a very warm welcome to Jeff Palmer? Hello.
Yay. Good job. Welcome. I can't see a thing. Well, it's so nice to be here. I live in Penicuik, and it's wonderful to be out on a Saturday night. Down from the hills. So now I know what happens in Edinburgh on a Saturday night. I think it's the first time I've ever taken my wife out in 40 years. And she's also surprised at what goes on a Saturday. Well, anyway, I'm tremendously grateful to Robert for asking me out tonight. And he telephoned and I said, well, what do I have to do? And I said to my wife when we were driving down, I said, there'll probably be about 7 people. This is the sort of audience I usually have when I speak. So when he said I was going to speak, I expected an exodus. But what I'm going to do tonight, I think you're going to play the slave lament?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And what I'm going to do is to say a little bit about the homecoming, you know, which our First Minister has been on about. You noticed he published a picture where it's supposed to celebrate the homecoming. And of course, I noticed that there were no black people in the picture. So I mentioned it to The Guardian, and The Guardian published an article saying, where are the black people? Because there are 4% of us in Scotland. And then what then appeared was another picture where they painted out one of the white guys. They did. So Visit Scotland painted out one of the white guys and put an Asian guy in reading a copy of Burns. Now, since everybody else in the picture were running about, they could only find an Asian guy not running about walking in the front of about 900 people. But anyway, what I'm going to do tonight, rather quickly, I don't want to hold up the music. In fact, when I was listening to this, the thing that occurred to me is when the bass started to play, and I think what we're having here tonight is that when you put the bass or the drum with the violin, we're mixing what we call white and black music. And without the bass or the rhythm, then in fact you lose a lot of the soul of the music. Can you imagine the world today without slavery? You'd have no jazz, no blues, no reggae. Pardon? Well, I didn't want to say that. But as the Bible says, out of evil can come good. And what I'd like to do, if I'm going to talk a little bit about the homecoming, is to just tell you a little bit about how Jamaica, I'm from Jamaica, and one of the problems, if you're a Jamaican, I do some work at the prison for the young boys at Pullmet. And whenever I go into the prison, the first time I was taken in by Lady Cullen, and she kept saying to me, why are the boys so friendly with you, Jeffrey? And of course, all the boys in Pullmet were giving me the rap handshake, which I didn't know how to do. And also, they were very fond of Jamaica because of the music. So music is very important in terms of building relationships between people, but also poetry. And if we talk about the homecoming, of course, we're talking about Burns. And a while ago, when I first said to our Solicitor General, this is Eilish Angelini, I said, Burns bought his ticket to sail to Jamaica in 1786, when he was 27. Whatever, or 25, he bought his ticket to sail to Jamaica. And a lot of people are some people are embarrassed by it, some people are surprised by it. But I'm not, because it was a time when a lot of Scottish young men were going to Jamaica in order to make their fortunes. So whether they were the Wedderburns, the Sterling of Kerr, the Grants, who built Granton-on-Spey, with money from Jamaica. Granton-on-Spey is built by money from Jamaica, and the Grants build it so that they could civilize the Scots. What we have in 1786, if Burns' poems, Book of Poems, the Kilmarnock edition of poems, did not sell, he would have gone to Jamaica. There are advantages there because we may have auld lang syne to reggae music, but the point is he didn't go. One may think that was the end of the story. The fact is that towards the end of his life, in I think in 1792, he wrote The Slave's Lament. Now, a lot of people said that's a bit late because he was going to Jamaica in 1786. 1792, he wrote The Slave's Lament when people were petitioning in Scotland that they wanted slavery abolished. Now, what also came out of this is that is the great love of his life, Clorinda, Mrs. McElhose, who's buried just up the road. We hear a lot about her and this great love between Burns and Clorinda. The true story of that is, yes, Clorinda was the only woman Burns did not get his leg over that he chased. And therefore, he was determined to do this, but he somehow just couldn't sort of capture her. And she was going to Jamaica in the early 1790s. That was her excuse. She said to Burns, I must go to Jamaica and check with my husband how the marriage is. And then if he, you know, if it's no good, then I'll come back and you and I can, you know, hit it off. Or words to that effect. I don't think Burns would have said that. But nevertheless, she, when she was about to sail to Jamaica, that's when he wrote A Fond Kiss. So the probably the world's greatest love song was written by Burns to his girlfriend sailing to Jamaica to see her husband after he'd abandoned her. Now, she went to Jamaica 5,000 miles in 1790s, was a long trip. She arrived in Jamaica, found her husband, and when she found Mr. McElhose, now this is a Scottish man telling a Scottish woman how it is, she finds him after traveling 5,000 miles, and she said to him, how is the marriage? You know, is it still on? And Mr. McElhose, and this is fact, not fiction, Mr. McElhose tells Clorinda, if I were you, I'd get back to Edinburgh. I'm quite happy with my ebony woman and my mahogany children. Believe it or not, that is true. The point is that we have one of the greatest love songs which people sing and do not know the origin. And what we also have is a Jamaica population where 70% of us have got Scottish surnames. In Jamaica, if you look at the Jamaica telephone book, 70% of the names in the Jamaica telephone book are Scottish surnames. There are more Campbells in Jamaica than they are in Edinburgh and the Lothians. There are more Campbells per acre in Jamaica than there are in Scotland. And we have more Reeds, McFarling. And I'll just tell a little story before I finish. I was in London talking to Jamaica women. And I said to them, when I call your surname, I want you to put your hand up. And I started and I said, Reed, McFarlane, Mackenzie, Clark, Urquhart, etc. And I'm going on. And at the end of my talk, a Jamaica couple came up, pushed me in the corner and said, we're a little embarrassed, you know, because there's so many Jamaicans with Scottish surnames. And we're a little worried because ours might be English. And we huddled in the corner, and I whispered to them, what's your surname? And they said, Morrison. So finally, thank you very much for asking me out. And what it is that, remember, as Burns says, you know, we are all brothers in that sense. And we're all, is it Jack Thompson?
Jock Thompson's Burns.
Burns. Yeah. And therefore, I think that for the homecoming, it's nonsense that Salmon is talking about affinity Scot. I can assure you the blood in my veins, the Scottish ones, are the same as yours. Thank you.
Oh.
Slave's Lament.
Thank you. Big thanks to Michael Mara. And big thank you to Jeff Palmer, please. And there's a book of Jeff's related to this topic, which is for sale in the foyer. You can browse that during the break. We're going to have a short break. Try and keep it quite short, 10 minutes or something like that now. And then we'll be back for another set. Thank you very much.